Okay, welcome back everyone. Sabbath blessings for those of you that have popped in recently. We're only singing one? You got two? I only got one here. I am thine, O Lord. Thank you, Jill. What is it? First one is I am thine, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And then leaning on the everlasting arms is the next one. So number 21, I don't know if these are in the room, so. I am thine, O Lord. Okay.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and told thy law to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy servant, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Leaning, is that in there?
Yeah, there it is.
Leaning on the everlasting arms, number 363.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
King and the everlasting King. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Oh, there she goes. Library Girl's going to do the children's story.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. Today's children's story is titled, Only This Once. I'll be in again very soon, Mother. I'm only going round the corner to see the new billiard room. And cap in hand, Harry was closing the parlor door when his mother called him back. I cannot consent to you going there, my dear, she said. You must know that both your father and myself disapprove of all such places. But I don't intend to play, Mother, only to look on. The boys say the tables are splendid. And besides, what could I tell Jim Ward after promising to go with him? He is waiting outside for me. Please say yes, only this once. Tell Jim that we rather you would remain at home and ask him to walk in and spend the evening, said Harry's father as he looked up from the paper. Oh, I know he'll not do that. And Harry stood turning the door handle till, finding his parents did not intend to say anything more, he walked slowly to the front step. Why don't you hurry along, called Jim, and not keep a fellow standing all night in the cold? I am not going. Won't you come in, said Harry? Not going? Your mother surely doesn't object to your looking at a billiard table. She would prefer I should not go, said Harry. And Jim's only reply was a significant whistle as he walked off. He'll be sure to tell all the boys, said Harry, half aloud as he shut the front door with rather more force than was necessary. I don't see what makes father and mother so particular. Then, entering the parlor, he took the first book that came to hand from the table and, taking a seat very far from the light, looked exceedingly unamiable. His father laid aside the paper and without seeming to notice Harry's mood, said pleasantly, I wonder if my son feels himself too old for a story. If not, I have one to tell him which might well be named Only This Once. The book was returned to the table, but Harry still kept thinking of what the boys would say when Jim told an exaggerated story and his countenance remained unchanged. When I was about your age, Harry, began his father, we lived next door to Mr. Allen, a very wealthy gentleman who had one son. As Frank was a good-natured, merry boy and had his two beautiful ponies, several dogs, and a large playground, he soon made friends. Many an afternoon did we spend together riding the ponies or playing ball on the playground, and one summer afternoon in particular, I never expect to forget, for it seemed to me now, looking back upon it, as the turning point of Frank's life. But we little thought of such a thing at the time. It was a very warm afternoon, and becoming tired of playing ball, we had stopped to rest on the piazza when Frank proposed that we should take the ponies to a plank road a few miles from the house and race them. I was certain that his father would disapprove of this, and besides, it would have been most cruel work on such a warm afternoon, so I tried to make Frank think of something else he would like to do instead, but all in vain. I think you might go, Charlie, he said. What's the harm of doing it only this once? I just want to see if either of my ponies is likely to be a fast trotter. For one moment I hesitated, but in the next came the thought of my father's displeasure, and I shook my head. Very well, just as you please, Mr. Good Boy. I know plenty who will be glad of the chance to ride Jet. And so saying, he walked away. Frank did find a boy who was delighted to go with him and enjoyed the race so much that, notwithstanding his father's reprimand, he managed to pursue the same sport more times than only that once. As soon as the summer was ended, Mr. Allen went to Europe for his health, and I did not see his son again for 3 years, till I left the country and entered the same college with him. Frank began studying very earnestly, but before the first year was ended, the earnestness had passed away. Friends would induce him to spend his evenings at their rooms or at some public place of amusement, and each time Frank would try to satisfy his conscience with, "It will be only this once." Thus, by degrees, his lessons were neglected, and as study became irksome, his love for excitement and gaiety increased, till one day I overheard a gentleman, Hemwell, remark that he feared Frank's "only this once" would prove his ruin. But a few years before, Frank would have been shocked with the thought of spending the afternoons in racing and evenings in billiard saloons. He had not at first really intended to visit these places more than once, just to see for myself. But there are very few who stop in the course of wrongdoing at only this once. At length, his father died. When the sad tidings reached the son, he seemed more thoughtful for a time, but in an hour of temptation, he yielded. Before long, his old companions surrounded him again, and of them he soon learned how to spend the large fortune left him by his father in a most reckless manner. In vain, his true friends tried to check him in his wild career, and 5 years ago, Harry, my poor friend Frank, died, a drunkard. "Oh, father, how dreadful!" And Harry shuddered. "Yes, it is dreadful, my son, but there are countless untold stories as dreadful as this one. If we were to visit a prison and ask the wretched inmates how it was that they first led into crime, we should find that only this once brought most of them there. One took something which did not belong to him, never intending to do it more than that once, but the crime soon grew into a habit. Another was once tempted to gamble, and only that one game was the foundation of all his crimes. Another fully intended to stop with the first glass, but instead became a reckless drunkard. Learn, my son, to dread those three little words, and when tempted to use them, think of all they may lead to, and ask for strength to resist the temptation. And Harry, do you wonder now at our refusing to allow you to visit the billiard rooms even once? No, father, I see now that you were right, and I was wrong in supposing that it could not possibly do me any harm to go only this once. And if Jim does tell the boys some silly story to make them laugh at me, I can tell them about Frank Allen, and that will soon sober them. My dear boy, do you flatter yourself that it is a trifling thing to do wrong only this once? If so, stop and consider how often not only the young, but those of mature years yield to this deceptive and alluring thought and take the first steps in a career of sin, when could they but see the end of the path which they are so thoughtlessly entering, they would shudder with horror. They do not realize that sin, once indulged in, hardens the heart, and that one step in the downward path leads to the broad road. How many parents yield to the pleadings of their children to be indulged this once, who find that to deny after once being indulged costs a greater effort than to have stood with firmness to conviction of conscience and to true principle. The end. Thank you for listening.
Amen. That kind of reminds me of what I was talking about the other day about how children keep tempting their parents, you know, to just let them do something just one time, and how it just keeps, they keep doing that, and before you know it, you got all these kids running amok. It's amazing how that just at one time, because I can attest to that. I got friends like that one guy that we always bring up, Fran, you know, Kuchan. I just want to steal this pack of gum just this one time. And then he saw how easy it was. Just that one time, and it clicked. It's just like when I was talking to that one loved one the other day that wanted to do something in a bar. This is all we just, you know, just going to do it this one time. And just about everybody I know is moderate drinkers. Says, yeah, I know. Just like everybody I hung with when I was a teenager just did it one time and they were all just moderate drinkers. And many of them are, they got a real problem with alcohol now. You never know. It could be the day it clicks. They go, wow, I like this, you know. And it changes them in a drastic way. And that kid that ended up, you know, stealing that pack of gum, ended up stealing more and more things and then stealing everything he can get his hands on in the store and then being bet by his friends, you know, I'll give you $50, you go in the store and you go and get $300-$400 worth of suits and run out. And he would do that. And they knew the kid was a shoplifter and, you know, he would run in the store and run out with stuff. He just got away with it until he started stealing cars and the drugs, and then eventually it led to murder, and now he's in prison for life. This is a kid I knew that stole a pack of gum just that one time. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your guiding hand, for the ministering angels, and even for the opportunity to entertain angels unaware sometimes. You're blessing us and testing us and guiding us and even chastising us at times when we need it. We thank you for the way you treat us like children. Children you love and you want to protect and help to grow and to cultivate into blessed adults. Thank you for giving us this Sabbath day, an opportunity to come together and to praise your name and to give you thanks for the things that you have done. Bright all the tongues that speak this day. Let it be that only you are glorified. Let it be the glorification of you. Touch even more hearts to want to cry out and accept your Son as Savior so that they too can have wonderful testimonies and see miracles and be blessed with healings and all sorts of answered prayers. We thank you, Father, for all these blessings, all these things, and for blessing all those on our prayer list in the way they need to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, today is a little bit of a unique service. We're going to try something different we've never done before. As, well, in this little humble thing. I hope and pray that more people arrive. We've got quite a few people missing for some reason. And I hope it's that they don't want to be feeling pressured to go to the mic, because I'm not going to pressure anybody to come to the microphone. I mean, you can praise the Lord in the text chat. But this is a praise and thanks and even song. If you have a song in your heart you want to share, you know, bless us with it. But before we start, I have some things I'd like to share that Sister Bonnie shared with me yesterday in email, or was it in the chat room? I can't remember. Maybe it was in the chat room last night. But it's a gathering of things from Sister White. It starts off with Psalm chapter 34, which says, verses 1 to 3, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I like to sign some emails that way too, like when I'm inviting people to church. Yeah. Psalm 34, verse 3. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Sister White says in Christian Service, page 212, that as followers of Christ, we should make our words such as to be a help and an encouragement to one another in the Christian life. Far more than we do, we need to speak of the precious chapters in our experience. The church needs the fresh living experience of members who have habitual communion with God. Dry, stale testimonies and prayers without the manifestation of Christ in them are no help to the people. If everyone who claims to be a child of God were filled with faith and light and love and life, What a wonderful witness would be given to those who come to hear the truth. And how many souls might be won to Christ? I mean, when you think of the souls that were won to Christ when the martyrs were burned at stakes, imagine the souls that are won by Christ when Christians proclaim the wonderful miracles he has performed. That's what moved me in my early walk. I started seeing how the Lord was helping others. I like that one saying that one pastor used to say, you can always tell a Christian by the way their prayers are answered. Remember that? You don't remember who said that?
Yeah, but I
do. You can always tell a Christian by the way their prayers are answered. I don't know, some people may not agree with that, but I don't know. It depends on how you pray, though, too. So there's a stipulation here. Some people don't know how to pray. You know, and they might not even be at fault in regards to their not getting certain prayers answered because they don't know. You shouldn't have prayed for that. You know, but when they do pray the right ones, those are answered. So it's kind of hard to judge in that respect. But she goes on to say in, I think this is this. Well, no, Christian Service still, page 213 now. It says, our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others, and an experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked with our own individuality. These precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. So if you've ever wanted to do anything for Jesus to help others find him, imagine how many people may hear your testimony today. Because it'll be posted online. You don't have to give your name, address, and telephone number. Don't worry about that. Just, you know. Going on, it says, to praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a duty as is prayer. We are to show to the world and to all the heavenly intelligence that we appreciate the wonderful love of God for fallen humanity, and that we are expecting larger and yet larger blessings from his infinite fullness. After a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, our joy in the Lord and our efficiency in his service would be greatly increased by recounting his goodness and his wonderful works in behalf of his children. These exercises drive back the power of Satan. They expel the spirit of murmuring and complaint, and the tempter loses ground. They cultivate those attributes of character that will fit the dwellers on earth for the heavenly mansions. Such a testimony will have an influence upon others. No more effective means can be employed for winning souls to Christ. The Lord desires us to make mention of his goodness and tell of his power. He is honored by the expression of praise and thanksgiving. He says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." The people of Israel, as they journeyed through the wilderness, praised God in sacred song. The commandments and promises of the Lord were set to music, and all along the journey these were sung by the pilgrim travelers. And in Canaan, as they met at their sacred feasts, God's wonderful works were to be recounted and grateful thanksgiving offered to his name. God desired that the whole life of his people should be a life of praise. In Evangelism, page 496, it says, a soul-saving instrumentality, well, no, that's the title, a soul-saving instrumentality. The melody of song poured forth from many hearts is, in clear, distinct utterance, is one of God's instrumentalities in the working of saving souls, in the work of saving souls. As the children of Israel, journeying through the wilderness, cheered their way by the music of sacred song, so God bids his children today gladden their pilgrim life. There are few means more effective for fixing his words in the memory than repeating them in song, and I'll attest to that because I can't memorize too well. But those scripture songs, when we listen to them, you know it by heart. You know, doing it with song, it's just amazing. And that's why the devil attacks music and uses it, because he knows he can get all his garbage pumping in your brain on a regular basis if you keep repeating a song that you like. Going on, she says, and such song has wonderful power. It has power to subdue rude and uncultivated natures, power to quicken thought and to awaken sympathy, to promote harmony of action, and to banish the gloom and foreboding that destroy courage and weaken effort. Finally, she says, it is one of the most effective means of impressing the heart with spiritual truth. How often to the soul hard-pressed and ready to despair, memory recalls some words of God, some word of God's, the long-forgotten burden of a childhood song. And temptations lose their power. Life takes on a new meaning and a new purpose. And courage and gladness are imparted to other souls. You know, I was looking through my pray, and I want to do the first testimony. And if anybody wants to do one or a praise or whatever the case, or even a song, put up your bubble and stand in line.
I thought we could type them.
You could type them too. You know, you could type them too if you want. But that's perfectly acceptable. Because it'll, you know, I'm going to be putting the whole thing in so people can see the typing too. But before we start, yeah, I went through my praise list, and my praise list is a little different than it used to be. I remember I used to have a daily diary, I'd write things down and stuff like that. Now I just do the big things because I thank Him on such a regular basis anyway. I don't think it's necessary for me writing it down because it starts to feel like I'm just doing it to fill a page, and I don't want to do that. I want to have a special time alone with Him. For thanking Him for amazing things that He's done. There's a lot of stuff in here about Luke. We've gone over a lot of that already, and I might mention a few things that have happened recently in regards to the blessings that he has received. But I wanted to give you as to why I started the praise list. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. A reminder. That's all I really do this for. Because there's dry spells in my life, just like in anybody's life. Even Moses on the mountain for 40 days, dry as a bone up there. And so the Lord tested him like he tested Aaron. But look at the difference between the two guys. Moses stayed firm with the Lord and just concentrated. The Lord stepped back to see how his child would react to his silence. He stepped back for Aaron, too. And we all know the night and day situation there. In Bible Commentaries, Volume 2, page 1012, Sister White says, in regards to this thing in Samuel, she says, there are thousands of souls willing to work for the Master who have not had the privilege of hearing the truth as some have heard it. But they have been they have been faithful readers of the Word of the Word of God. And they will be blessed in their humble efforts to impart light to others. Let such ones keep a diary. And when the Lord gives them an interesting experience, let them write it down. As Samuel did when the armies of Israel won a victory over the Philistines, he set up a monument of thanksgiving, thankfulness, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Brethren, where are the monuments by which you keep in view of love, in view of the love and goodness of God? Strive to keep fresh in your minds the help that the Lord has given you in efforts to help others. Let not your actions show one trace of selfishness. Every tear that the Lord has helped you wipe from your from sorrowful eyes, every fear that has been expelled, every mercy shown, trace a record of it in your diary as thy days show, so shall thy strength be. And that's one of the reasons I do the diary, praise diary, if you will, but not a daily thing. I mean, there are things I could put in on a daily basis, but I got to the point where just I was getting late. I had like 19 or 20 books. Because it'll get, you know, it's a good habit, but it gets to a point where you're, you know, you go a little, I noticed there were things in there I shouldn't have, you know, just filler, you know, just to write something. And especially when you're angry, you don't want to write stuff down when you're in a bad mood. But there were things that I wasn't going to mention today because, but after reading what Sister White says about, you know, glorifying the Lord and showing His power to the people, one of the things that I didn't want, because some people think like I may be tooting my horn and stuff like that, but I'm not. I always tell people I never prayed alone when we do these things. More often than not, the whole family comes together and we pray for, you know, and we see these answers to prayer. For example, one of the recent ones where we gathered together as a family. Who called the house here when that tornado was bearing down on Teresa's house?
I did.
You did, okay. So you called here. Were you at Teresa's or were you at your house?
No, I was at home, and she heard it on the radio and called me. She's heading towards Bradley Burbank.
Yeah, so there's a tornado heading towards Teresa's house, or my daughter Teresa's house. All right? And so, of course, you stayed on the phone. We all got on our knees. And then I checked the radar and had this weird shift in the radar where it either didn't go anywhere near her house all of a sudden and just dissipated. It was gone. Okay, and we all praise the Lord for that, right? And a lot of people think that, you know, who do you think you are? I says, look, this is not me. This is not us, you know, this is the Lord. That was, yeah, we prayed as a family. We gathered together and we did this and we saw the Lord's hand move. And then I want to bring up the one about where, and that was storm number 34, by the way. That was number 34. 34 times in a row. Some day about a year ago, we started keeping track of somebody in the audio chat says, how many times has that happened to you, Nicholas? Because, you know, I mentioned again, we prayed, and the tornado that was headed our way never came. You know, and we've seen some of these tornadoes. One of them, we had a direct hit on the house, and there was no damage because we were praying intensely. But how about the first week we moved into this house? That's why I want to bring up that one, because some people might not believe it unless they see it. Frank was here. Bartosz just pulled in the driveway. He's the guy that was working on our air conditioner. He was putting it in. We were just moving into this house. We just bought it. It was the first week, I think, right? That morning, I was outside. And talking to the guy that was putting the gas bottle in. We got this big old 500-gallon bottle. Looks like a gigantic Bic lighter just laying out there in a backyard. And the house hooks to it. And we only use that for the furnace. We don't have a gas stove or a gas water heater. That's just for the furnace, right? And I'm out there talking to the guy and, you know, having a good old time, just yapping away. And the sky's blue. It's a beautiful day. And it was July something. I don't remember what day it was. It was in July. When I might even have the date in here, because I think I did mark that down as one of them I might mention. But and Josh was Josh was here. Josh and Luke. Oh man, I don't remember the exact date. Who cares about the date? It was in July. I just know that. And I'm outside talking to the guy, blue sky, everything's great, you know, no sign of any storm coming. And so he finishes working on the bottle, he leaves. I'm downstairs, I'm doing something with the computers, setting them up, I don't know, the T1 wasn't here yet, you know, setting up something. So I was kind of busy, and I was down there for at least 2 hours, I think, and all of a sudden, Aaliyah and Lee come into my office, in the basement, right? Or just you, or no, I think it. Well, Leah was in the bathroom, so it was just you. You came down and he says, Josh told me to come down here because there's a tornado coming. And I thought, oh, cool. I'm going to go around outside and check out this dust devil, because that's what I thought it was, because blue sky, right? And when you see a tornado with a blue sky, that's a dust devil. So you're going to go, it's a 40 mile an hour to maybe 60 mile. Remember the first time you saw one, Fran, and Nicholas ran out into it. She goes, oh, no, my son's going to get sucked up into that. It's not a tornado. It's a dust devil. It looks violent. But it's nothing. You can walk right into it. It'll knock stuff off tables and stuff. That's about it. It's just a really windy downspout. And so I'm running upstairs. I'm going to go check out this tornado, right? There's dust devil. And there's these seven twisters over the top of the house. And they're not dust devils. These things are whipping all over the place. Bartosz is pulling into the driveway. I mean, this thing totally caught us off guard. We had no warning it was coming. It just formed over the house. Seven tornadoes. Isn't that what you counted, Josh?
Yes, there was everyone.
They were all over the place. I don't know. They figured there were about seven of them. They were dancing all over. Ripped the antenna off the top of the windmill thing. They tore one of the downspouts off. Bartosz was pulling in. I told him, get in the basement now. Frank got in the basement. We all got in the basement. We all got on our knees. And right when we were praying, it just, boom, went calm. Instantly. We come outside, blue sky. It was all gone that fast. So now we had witnesses. We don't do this alone. We're not looking to seek self-glory. We're showing you that he does move his hand for his child. I mean, there was no damage, except for the antenna, which we don't use, because it wasn't even workable anyway, and the downspout, two screws, it was put back on. And so I wanted to praise the Lord for that. Plus, I want to praise Him for the fact that we're doing church today. Last night at 3 or 4 in the morning, we woke up to the automatic phone calls that we get when the T1 goes down, and I can't. The reason they call automatically is because they're going to test the line. But I don't have the line hooked to the T1 because that's our home phone number. I only can do that when I know there's a problem. And so we were down all night. I don't know when Bonnie said she fell out last night, and she never bothered trying to get back in. And then this morning, they asked me to plug in the modem, and I did. And within 30 seconds, they were able to get it up and running because it was a power failure for the T1. And they were able to fix it without any effort. It's just a reboot. But other than that, we never would have been here. And I wanted another one here that I wanted to share. This one here, before Luke got sick. 5 days, in fact, before he got sick. Remember what the Lord moved me to do? And then the next day he moved you to do the exact same thing. Fast and pray. I didn't talk to you. You didn't talk to me. And the Lord just moved us into a special prayer that, you know, Christians should do. No information is going to be given as to how long we do this. We're not seeking self-glory. We were just, you know, because something was about to happen. We had no idea. And we both were moved separate days apart from each other. Because I remember when we were in the store talking about that. And five days exactly, Luke got deathly ill, and then that's when the healings, what needed to be done had to be done in an emergency kind of a way to get him to the point where he was, that he is now, and so we're praising the Lord for that. But all the things that happen in there, like some of the miracles that come to mind, like the neurologist telling us that he should have been dead because his sodium level was 108, normal is 135, anything under 115 is death. But he was at 108, and he survived. And they were saying that he had massive brain damage to a point where he'll be a 9-year-old for the rest of his life. I don't know why you keep saying 90.
He said 90.
The guy told me 9. I even wrote down 9 here. Okay, I didn't hear the D. Okay, so. And the way he is would be totally different, in other words. You know, okay, 9 or 90, he wouldn't be Luke again. And a week or two after that, he was his normal self. Absolutely. You know, the same wit, the same humor. Everything was back to him. So I'm praising the Lord for that. There was a whole mess of other things too, but if anybody else wants to, is there someone up? Okay, I'll, what?
Blood platelets were 7 and they're supposed to be 65,000 and they had 7,000.
Oh yeah, the blood platelets that are in your body that, I don't know what blood platelets do. They help you clot for one thing, I know that much. They help fight disease. That's about it. They're supposed to be at 65,000 to 150,000 to 140,000. 65 to 140,000 of these blood platelets per quart or pint. Who knows? I don't know how they calculate this. They say he's supposed to be between 65 and 140,000. That's all they tell us. They don't tell us what the measurement is. He was at 7. Okay? And there's a miracle in itself, too. He should have been dead on that. And the way his lungs filled up so quickly. I mean, everything shut down on him except his heart and his brain. Well, yeah, no, his brain shut down too. That's right, because of seizures. He was in a kind of like a dream state for, what, 2 weeks? Yeah, total confusion for 2 weeks. He couldn't even form words. It was pretty bad for them. And so, you know, I was always praying, says, Father, I want to play Frisbee with my son in the spring. And what did we do a few weeks ago? There wasn't a lot of running going on, but we were playing Frisbee. It was like maybe a month or two ago we were playing Frisbee out there. Now, no problem. Now he can run and everything. Because I remember when you came home, you tried running and he ran 10 feet and got winded. Now he can run pretty good. So I'm praising the Lord for that. And then I'm going to step back. I think Library Girl has something that she'd want to share. All right.
Okay. This is actually a testimony for Sister Lynn, who is not here today. but she wanted to share with everyone. And this is from, put it in the room, James chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, I'm sorry, I have a typo in there. That should say if. Anyway, it starts out, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And again, this is Lynn's testimony. She says, I had a difficult task to do for work and was not given any help and was told I would sink or swim. Only the good Lord put in my mind his word, which is James 1, verse 5. It was like the Lord was leading to do this, then try that, and then he, God alone, had finished the task. Praise his name. Then afterward, the person came to review the task. I had given God the praise and told of his word in James about if any lacked wisdom. So God's word is true. Praise his name. Anyway, this is again from Sister Lynn, and she couldn't be with us today, but wanted to share a nice testimony. Thank you.
Nick mentioned Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In March of 2001, my wife Betty Jean died. Jenny and William were still living at home at the time, and it was rather sudden, and it wasn't but a week or two after her death that we were called by a pet store owner who wanted to know if we would take care of a cat that was abandoned. It was a kitten, needed to be nursed, and Jenny and I talked it over and decided we could probably handle that. Part Siamese, I think his eyes had just opened, and we fed him from an eyedropper, and we call him Ebenezer. He's still around. He's one of the most loving cats we've ever had, a little bit cross-eyed, but that doesn't stop him from catching mice and rodents and things. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Remember that.
Hi everyone, pleasant Sabbath. Kim and I left the Adventist Church and we started evangelizing. And Satan found many ways to shut us down, and we don't get through to the brethren as we thought we would have. They resist a lot. And the last time we went, Nick's site was down because I was using Nick's site for some reference to pictures. And it didn't look good because we didn't have the tools that we need to deliver the message. And we talked to the people and somehow they didn't really get it. But there's a sister there who comes to my school because in Trinidad they're allowed to come to the schools and have something called religious instructions. So they're allowed to come in the schools and do prayer and worship and so on. So we do that in our schools. So there's a time set aside for that. And she comes very regular to do that for the kids. She's Seventh-day Adventist. And I've been, you know, chatting with her and I've been sharing the messages that I have on CDs with her, some of the messages that Rob put together. And she didn't really listen to them. I think she, at some point in time, she did, and I did presentations in their church at some point in time. And some of the folks, I realized, starting doing research on the internet. And everything that I have told them, they realize that it's true. So it seems that a small group has gotten together and started realizing that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a lot of problems, and they need to get out, and they need to follow Jesus, who is really the true church. So I'm glad to know that even though we weren't welcomed with what we had to say, with the message that we had. These folks, you know, the Spirit still worked with them. And maybe I may never see the fruit of what we did, but I know that one day God is going to make sure that the message that we had, that He gave to us, is going to be spread throughout Trinidad, and lots of folks would be saved and would come out of, you know, this sleep that they're in. So I am thankful for Him for doing that for us. You know, it gives us some kind of hope that what we did didn't go in vain.
Also, we would like to ask that our church members here pray for us. One of the things that we learned from Rob's teachings, his sermons, is that when you leave the church, you think, okay, well, you know, I'm basically on the road to heaven. But, you know, that is when the trials really start. That's when we have to start. God is going to put us through the fire to refine us, to get us to the point where, you know, He wants us. And over the past few weeks, we have been having some problems, and the devil has been prompting both Clive and I at certain points in time. You see, now that you have left the church, you see what's happening to you now? Maybe you should go back. And we ask for your prayers in that we can stay firm, you know, practicing what we know and what we believe to be right. Thank you.
Amen. Cool. All right, hold on a second there, Brother Dick and Sister Elaine. I also wanted to praise the Lord for the websites that we have, and it's not just mine. You know, we've got Brother Rob's site, we got the SDR Voice site, SDRPA is going to be up soon online, and because it's such a powerful tool. One of the things I love to do, of course, is share my faith, as any Christian would. But the thing that I like is the fact that I'm sleeping, rolling around under the covers, snoring away, and there's people coming to read, you know, the stuff that's on the website. So I praise the Lord for the technology that He's blessed us with in these last days to work. And the thing that I like about it, too, is they don't have to worry about, you know, is somebody going to see me walking into this church? Because, you know, I got all these loved ones in this one church. I don't want them to think I'm even checking out this new faith. It's like, hey, they do this in the comfort of their home. They could do it on an iPod or a BlackBerry, rather. You know, or even on their cell phone. They could check out the information that the Lord has blessed us to share. And so, and we thank you for your prayers, too, because to be able to, for the Lord to continue to bless the work so that it continues on. And that's, I just wanted to share that because, you know, Clyde brought that up in regards to the sites being down. I knew how they were down for a while. The Remnant of God's Board, that site wasn't down, but the other servers, the SDA Apostasy, the other servers, they were down when Luke got sick, and then I didn't have time to fix the computers. And so I know how, because I got a bunch of emails, people needed the information that was on there, and we couldn't get them up there. So I'm praising the Lord that they were able to get to it anyway. Eventually we got it back up. So praise His name.
Hey, everybody hear me? Mic test, test, test. Okay. Well, welcome everyone. Any new people, and welcome back to our regular users, I should say, or fellow brethren, sisters and brethren. Being a recovered alcoholic, I feel like I've got a lot to be grateful for, and I thank the Lord every morning, get on my knees, and thank Him throughout the day also. Pray to be strong every morning. Pray to be strong, healthy and strong in mind, body, and His Holy Spirit, and do His will and not mine. I thank the Lord. I can live one day at a time and live in today and not dwell on the past or the future and worry like the Bible talks about the bird worrying in the tree. it says, well, the birds don't worry. You don't see them walking up down the branch worrying about what's going to what his next meal is or anything. So much more will he watch over us, his children. So we have nothing to worry about one day at a time. And of course, we have to take action at times and each day. So being sober since I count my I used to go over to a self-help group, right? But I count my sobriety date as March, let's see, March 9th, 1988. Since then, I've been steadily getting my mind back and sanity back, and some of it anyway. Got baptized in 93 and, you know, full immersion at a local church. Of course, I like to say I didn't get baptized into the denomination. I got baptized in the Lord. So that stuck, that first time and the only time I've gotten baptized. But that's not saying that that no one can do it again. So to reaffirm, I don't see anything wrong with that. But several miracles, I think, have happened since that time. I first started getting sober. I've been getting my health back, and one big thing that I always knew the Lord would help take away from me is the desire for cigarettes. And of course, you know, back when you start getting sober, you don't want to. They say don't quit everything at once because you'll probably get frustrated. But it's easy to. But that's why we say, this is, we grow in the Lord, you know. Good thing we don't have to be perfect before we go see Him and ask Him for help, because it would never happen. So this is a slow growth, one day at a time, and He will give us, you know, what we need, any trials we need to, and tribulations for growth to get closer to Him. And that's why we should always thank and seek the Lord for anything that goes on in your life. I am a living miracle, I consider myself to be, and I thank the Lord that He chose to see fit to save me out of that desolation I was getting into. And it was, you know, it was desolate. I felt desolate. It, you know, separation from the Lord. It was desolation. And you know where it talks about in the Bible. I forgot what exactly it says, but it talks of desolation. But, through my continued growth in the Lord, I continue to be filled with this Holy Spirit day by day. And sometimes I have to take a step back or two, but the growth is amazing. And the Holy Spirit, the way He teaches you through His Word and listening to others, and go out and teach His Word, you know, tell people, because we can't get back what we don't give away. Amen. And with that, I'll let anybody else come up, pop your bubble up here. Okay, Dick.
Well, it's the other half. We've had an amazing year this year. Most of you know that we drive 18-wheelers. And the last three summers, we've stayed home. So this is the first summer we've driven in a while. And I really don't like driving in the hot weather, because when we have to stop, this truck is like a hot box. But this year, the Lord has really blessed us, except for this last week. And I don't mean that as not a blessing. He's kept us in the coolest part of the state. One weekend when we were up in Washington, it happened to be in Washington and Maine were the only two cool spots in the whole United States, and we were thankful for every cool day. This last week has been kind of a horrendous week for us. We came into the yard last Sunday morning from Florida. We had a load going up to Vancouver, British Columbia. And it was a hazmat load, and it was for a cruise ship. And we stopped by the yard, and they get all the paperwork ready for crossing the border. Well, we had to run home, because in order to renew our hazmat, we have to do fingerprint background checks now through the government. And we needed to get into Little Rock on Monday morning so Dick could get his fingerprints done. So he didn't really want us to take the truck, so I said, would it be easy if we took our car? And he says, oh, yeah. So we drove home Sunday for an unexpected few hours at home. And Monday morning, we went into town to do some quick banking and a couple of errands. And on the way home, I opened my wallet, and I looked, and I'm looking down at this blank window. And it happened to be the window that's supposed to have my driver's license in it. And I have no idea when I lost it, where I lost it, or how long it had been gone. So we were like only 5 miles or so out of town. You know, it's a miracle that we weren't halfway across the United States. And we went back into town. I said, well, I'll just get a duplicate. If I left it in the truck, we'll still have one. And when I got the duplicate made, it didn't have any hazmat on it. And I said, how come it doesn't have hazmat? Well, it ran out in February. But in Arkansas, that's supposed to last till my next renewal. So I thought, well, we're going to Little Rock anyway to get fingerprints. We'll just do both of them. So we ran back home. It involved going home, getting my paperwork, coming back to town. And we're 10 miles out of town. Then we went back out of town because we go right by the house of Little Rock. And we got on the Internet. And I filled out all the paperwork and everything to get the fingerprint stuff done. So we'd do both of us as long as we're going to do it. It's only one trip to town. It's a three-hour drive to Little Rock. We got to Little Rock, found the place. We walked in, and we had another road bump. The government site for doing the fingerprints where they have to report it was down, and it had been down for at least an hour. And but we were marveling that all this happened at a time when it was really the most convenient to get it fixed. And so we started the fingerprint stuff. It'll be down. We won't know till another 5 days or so, and we can call in and make another trip home. Yeah, and if you get caught hauling a hazmat load without having a hazmat license, it can cost you $25,000. So it's not something you want to do just on the spur of the moment. So we reported back to the company that we temporarily don't have hazmat. But the Lord is blessed even then because he's given us another load, and today we're hooked up to an air conditioner that comes from the outside of our truck, and our truck is very, very comfortable inside, and we can freeze ourselves out if we want, and he's still blessing even though we've had trials. And it was very interesting when I first found this out, and we're doing it, and I was very stressed out. Dick started singing, and it's really amazing when the Lord says, give thanks in all things, when you follow his will and you really do thank him and praise his name in all of your problems. It doesn't take the problem away, but it sure does relieve the stress.
more thing I wanted to praise the Lord for real quick. Is I learned, you know, going through this ordeal with Luke, one of the things that I was blessed with is in 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." When fear arrives, doubt is its counterpart, and that causes our prayers to be less effective. And that's why Peter was sinking in the water. And so I praise the Lord for the trials and tribulations that come, because they help you grow that much closer, because then you realize, how do I get around this? And you realize you can't, and then you go into the Word and you find out He already got around it for us. And so I want to praise His name for that.
The fellow I work for, the most, I should say, that pays me the most, not the way, called me. I work out of my home. He called me on the telephone, and I see Swingley in a hospital, and I pick up the phone, and it's Dave. I said, "What's going on?" Well, he says, "I'm in here for bypass surgery. I was getting short of breath, and they did a cardiac workup on me and decided that my coronary arteries were clogged, so I had bypass surgery." And I said, "Oh, dear." Swingley in a hospital is an Adventist hospital, if you don't know that. Mrs. White's last home was Elmshaven, which is just about 3/4 mile from that hospital. And I have been acquainted with at least one of the surgeons there that does bypass surgery. I don't know, but that was not the one that took him day. And so later on, I was given a friend of Mellon's gave us a book. The China study, not the cancer study, by T. Colin Campbell, who was a research scientist at Cornell University, and in his research on cancer and diet and so on, himself personally gave up eating meat and finally gave up eating all dairy products. But this is just from the scientific point of view. And so I told Dave about the book after he was back home from the hospital, and I said it to him. I don't know how much of it he's read. Neither one of us has made any comment about the book since, but I know he's got it. And he called me yesterday because he wanted to know how we were doing and what was going on and so on. And also he wanted to apologize for not having sent me the money he usually sends me on the 20th of the month. And he said he'd gone to the, had a couple doctor's appointments on Thursday, and forgotten all about it. So I said, "Oh, well, how are you doing?" And then he had to tell me about his gallbladder experience. I don't know how much you know about gallbladder and gallstones, but it is largely the result of your diet and lifestyle style, gallstones are. Uric acid is produced when you eat, and an excess of uric acid causes stones and gallbladder. And if they get too big, they can be extremely uncomfortable. And he'd had a gallbladder attack, and he'd gotten over it, and then he had another one. And on Thursday, he'd gone to see the doctor about it, and the doctor had done some review, and said, "Okay," he says, this wasn't Thursday, this was earlier. He says, when do you want the surgery?" And Dave says, "What surgery?" And he says, "Well, we're going to take the gallbladder out. It's a disease." And Dave says, "We're not taking my gallbladder out." At first, you know, you rely completely upon modern medicine. You do what they say. You have this multi-$1,000 surgery for cardiac problems. And the next time, then you find out that may not have been necessary. And the next time you go around, you just then question what medical science says. So I wanted to let you know that Dave is going to try the apple juice, and he's not so sure he wants to do that olive oil did at the end of the apple juice treatment. But he's going to try that. And for your information, if there's quite a bit of information on the network, on the Internet, which Dave's gone and looked up. He looked for holistic medicine and gallbladder and gallstones, and he found the holistic treatment for it as in opposition to modern medicine, which says to remove it. You might like to look up the China study by T. Colin Campbell, and if you get a chance to read it. You also might like to see Dr. McDougall's website. It's www.drmcdougall.com. I'll put that link up. Dr. McDougall is a medical doctor who has discovered that he can treat and cure disease better with a diet than he can with medical drugs. And he, for 16 years, operated a service out of Singalina Hospital. I was well aware of this all the time. And when he came to realize that Singalina Hospital was more interested in procedures that could earn them good money rather than really helping people, he left and he went to Santa Rosa and got a motel, bought a motel, and is running his programs out of there. Let me put this link on the site, and you'll see he's done some pretty clever things with it. You've got to have two L's in the Google or you won't get it right. But the message that we've had for years and years and years is finally coming around, and science is proving it. And I'm just thankful that Dave now sees that. That modern medicine has got ulterior motives for telling you what needs to be done to regain your health or to solve your problems that are caused.
Okay, time for another song. This is from the Klein family, and I don't know what date it was done, but it's under one of the archived sermons. So here it is.
It's called Dudley.
I'll be right back. Now you may think you have a perfect plan in mind, but God's way works out better every time.
There was a man named Jonah, but they did serve God. So God said go to Nineveh, but he said, hold the phone. It's not my style to teach the folks to the brothers, he said. I think I'll take an ocean cruise, get some rest and set. His pleasant little voice said, yay, kind of rough. The chemist drawers and pickles wash were too high enough. They said you were the reason for our problem, so to speak. So Jonah, we decided just to throw you in the net. He thanked me, shared some ways, and breathed a prayer for help. And later he awoke upon a thread of fog to help. He said, I don't know where I am. Thus, I'm there. The God had put old Jonah in the belly of a whale. That whale swam for him. When it reached the shore, concluded that it didn't need for Jonah anymore. So after all his trouble, he wound up what God had written. The only difference now was, not a lot like this. God really drove the messy home to Jonah's old hard head. And as he speaks his sermon, I can just what he said.
I'll do it God's way. I'll do it God's way.
Got her scissors, took a little off. do what he should do, but no, disobey. If you were here right now, I'm sure that this is what he'd say.
I'll do it God's way. I'll do it God's way. I'll do it A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. I'm not fooling when I say it's God's way. It's always God's way. So strong and sound and legal from my thing to say. Be smart and always do it. God's way. That's right.
Thank you for not putting my comments in. It sounds like I'm swallowing the mic, and it just, because that was when the first time I heard it, it just, it was such a blessing to hear those kids do that. It was so neat. No. Is there anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Doug and Angie Klein. And keep Doug in your prayers, folks. He's a state cop. And those are usually the best cops, always. You know, I've dealt with many a cops in my day. And the local cops, you know, they usually have an attitude if it's in a big city and stuff like that. But state cops always are so professional, you know. They're so, I've always had good experiences with them. But keep them in your prayers because they're always the ones that end up with very, very dangerous duties. So he's a state police officer. And keep them in your prayers.
I'm up, it looks like. Well, as I get older, my hair disappears and what's left turns gray and my voice isn't what it used to be. But I thought I would try a song. This is one of my favorites and it kind of fits in with the testimony service today. You know, some people, their Christian experience seems to be on the mountaintop. And they're just joyful and happy all the time. Others aren't always. But as some of you know, and the rest of you may learn, in shady green pasture so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the cool waters flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Through sorrows, no, though sorrows befall us and evils oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen and amen and amen. Well, let me share one more testimony, and if anybody else has another one, please share. We're pulling up here on 3 o'clock, running kind of long here, but it's up to y'all. I'm sure there were some praises put out through the text chat, but I just wanted to praise the Lord in regards to this project that I'm working on and all the attacks that have been noticed because of it. I wanted to do a video about more or less I still want to do a video on the characteristics of Antichrist that one page on the website that's soon to be in book form. It's huge. I think on that one I got 25 or 26 prophecies that are my favorite ones to use to expose the Antichrist. But with the video, the first one I was doing, I was just going to do more or less a video of the Antichrist track, you know, that way people could have a video version of it. You know, very, very little ad lib. I more or less just read the track. And every time I wanted to do something, you know, to get started with it, when we had, you know, major attacks, everything from financial attacks to computers breaking down, it's just left and right. My main system, the motherboard, died. And then I got a new motherboard for it, but then it was dead on arrival. And then now I just found out yesterday that I'm hopefully going to get that motherboard back next week. But I didn't want to put it off anymore. And then the software was messing up, and I found all these weird problems, and I was able to finally configure the memory to where the computer would run. The one I'm using now is just pieces of other computers until my motherboard gets back. And it runs pretty good, but it's a Sempron chip, for those of you that know what I'm talking. It's AMD's version of a Celery chip, or Celeron, for those that don't know what Celery means. And it just couldn't do the job, and I finally got it to where it could do the job, and then the FireWire card died. So it looked to me like the Lord was not protecting the venture in regards to actually me getting on video. And so I decided to go ahead and do the video anyway, but just with graphics. And so far, so good. It's been going really good, and I wanted to praise the Lord for that. The thing is, it's extremely time-consuming. I started working on it, I think, Monday. And yesterday, before Sabbath, I think I'm up to 7.5 minutes. And I'm working on it, you know, at least 5-6 hours a day. And maybe longer. It's the reason it takes so long is because every 5 or 10 seconds, I throw a graphic up on the screen. And I have to find the graphic on my computer or online and make it to where it's video worthy or crop it or add to it or whatever, you know. It's just time consuming. So, and when it's all said and done, it shouldn't be more than 17, 18 minutes long. Because I want to get something out there on YouTube in regards to the message we preach. No one's out there doing it on YouTube. I don't see it. There's one or two guys that do it, but it's not all on one thing. You know, they have the same message we do, but they don't put anything on video in regards to it. And so I wanted to praise the Lord that He's been protecting it from this point forward. And you know, I would solicit your prayers in that regard too.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Okay, that's good. Thanks, LG. I haven't sung in a long time, and this reminds me of when we used to have our Australian brothers with us, and they're not here anymore. We should continue to pray for them. Hopefully that they find their way back. So I'm really nervous about this. So just bear with me. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Thank you.
Yes, praise God for that, Kim. You know, one thing, this is not a pitch for Nick, folks, but I realized, and last week, I was struck down, not by God, but by Satan. You know, I came out of the bathroom, and I just, my feet fell from under me. I got this back pain, and I couldn't move, and up to now, I still have that pain. And it came right after I paid my tithe, and I realized Satan has been angry with me for putting my tithe in the right place. When I was in the Adventist church and I was paying tithe, no blessings were coming, you know. And I used to wonder, you know, God, you said such and such in the Bible. Where are the blessings? I realized when I left there and I'm paying my tithe in the right place that I am getting attacked for it. And maybe God didn't want me to be a minister, but a support for the ministers. So I would admonish, you know, my brethren here, that we have people like Nicholas, we have people like Brother Rob. They need a lot of help. And I realize Brother Rob helps a lot of other guys on the outside too. They need our help. And for the Lord Christ to take place, is our financing these ministries would make them, you know, do the work that they are doing, because they need our help. You know, Nick, Kim and I have a little business that we're working on online, and I pray that, you know, you guys would pray with us for the blessing, because I'm seeing God is blessing it. And when we are successful with that, I would ensure that we will, you know, support the ministry, because the ministry needs financial support. Apart from what we do, the ministry needs financial support. I was not allowed to you know, create my own. I believe that God wants me to support the guys that are out there and doing ministry. And I admonish the brethren here, you all need to support Nick a little more and support Rob a little more, because they go through a really, really difficult time. And I understand that. So Nick, I pledge my support for your ministry, and as long as things working with me, you would get what is due. And I praise God for what he has done so far, and I praise him for the recovery that I'm recovering, because something like that never ever happened to me my entire life. I'm a young person, you know, and something like that happened to me, and I realized what it was. I realized who was attacking, and I know why he was attacking, and he doesn't want this ministry to go forward, because these ministries, when they go forward, it means that the loud cry is going to happen, and then, you know, Christ coming will be closer, and Satan's time would run out. Satan is trying to extend his time as much as possible, so he would live here as long as possible, and many people would be lost. But God doesn't want that. So we need to continue praying for you, Nick, and Rob, and all the other ministers like you. And we need to ensure that this ministry goes forward. Thank you.
Now I want to add my testimony with the brethren. Just wonderful having this time together, and I praise the Lord for it. During this last year, my mother, about a little over a year ago, my mother had a major stroke and fall, and I realized that, you know, she couldn't take care of herself anymore, and it was up to me to be able to take care of my mother and honor my mother, as the fifth commandment tells us of the Ten Commandments, how to do it. And so through the year, the Lord has been teaching me a lot of things, and and I praise the Lord for it. After the Spanish convocation we held up here in Northern California, I picked my mother up from where she was, because things needed to be changed from where she was. You know, situation changed from time to time, so we have to go with it. And my mother came and lived with us for 3 months. Meanwhile, I was looking for a good place for her to go that was, what do you call, affordable? Because, you know, senior care is very expensive these days. And neither myself nor my mother had plan for her, like she says, to be this old. She's 85 now. And so as I was searching, because I was getting more calls to travel for the Lord, and how do I travel and take care of my mother at the same time, it wasn't going to work. So for 3 months, she stayed here, and this county where I live here in Northern California is very good. I have always heard on taking care of seniors and senior programs. So one of the social workers I was communicating with gave me a name of a place, and I thought it was one of the places I already shared with. But anyway, my mother is now living there, and she's very happy, which is very surprising to me that she'd be happy there. But anyway, she is very happy, and now, you know, my mother's not living with me, and so now I can answer the calls to travel for the Lord as he opens the door. And one of the travels is this next Sabbath we will be in northern Idaho up in the Sandpoint area speaking to the home church up there, which we lived up there years ago, but, you know, we moved back down here. And we'll be speaking up there with the home church. They asked me the other day, which was, I was very happy and very much obliged to pray that the Lord would give me the right message to speak, because there will be a great variety of believers there, not only the home church brethren, but Adventists, non-Adventists will be there, because part of the reason we're there is one of our young brethren will be getting married on Sunday. And so we'll be able to have more than a couple blessings while we're there. And also in the next two Sabbaths after that, from August 6th through August 23, Brother Jeff and I will be traveling through Texas and down into Mexico a ways to several home churches down there. And we appreciate your prayers. Because it's a long story for each place, but appreciate your prayers, and praise the Lord that, you know, he's opening the way and able to travel again for him. I pray that also that the Holy Spirit keeps teaching me Spanish, which for some many years it hasn't come through, but, you know, praise the Lord, it's coming better, and I just thank the Lord for all that he has done for us. I could spend probably a half an hour at least going through all the blessings that the Lord has been giving my wife and I these last months. And I just thank the brethren here for being faithful and continue on. It's worth it. Persevere, please.
Amen, brother. Is there anyone else that would like to share what the Lord has done in their lives recently?
Totally inspired by the Holy Spirit, words, music, and all that. A little guitar in it. It's not hard rock or nothing. It's just kind of folky type music, if you will. Let's see. Y'all hear that fine? Okay, how's that? Angels in many places. I cry, great evil, desire of vision. For peace, rise and fall through time, many heads and many horns, above the waters, stampeding in crime. Wicked fallen angels were they born. Winning battles under Satan's flag, their master's anchorages. Great beasts and angels by his command. This tyrant, for Jesus Christ became a man and great controversy he was slain. Our pure and perfect little lamb by sinless through much pain. The great war, no battles lost, won by our Lord's blood. Our price is paid at the cross. God's love is just and good. Our price is paid at great cost.
Amen. Amen and amen. If there's no one else, we'll kneel in prayer. Let's give it a couple minutes here, or a minute, see if anybody else steps up. And thank you for the praises and the testimonies in text. The most recent one, of course, comes from Carla. Because even, you know, the people that come to this, the website later and listen to this, they'll see all the testimonies as well as hear them. Because there's a bunch of them in the text that you, I'm sure I've been seeing them. Well, just recently sitting down here, so. Well, if there's no one else, if you can kneel where you're at. Oh, wait, we got to sing. Oh, we just had, he just sang.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we have one song? Okay, let's do that. I think she's already picked one out. And then, you just had a nice miracle there. It's amazing. I'm like, oh, it is Amazing Grace. Yeah, I was just thinking of that too. I wonder if she's going to pick Amazing Grace, because this is really amazing. His grace. So, it's. I'm pretty sure it's in the room number 292.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, there it is. 292. Second one on the. It's all the way on the right. Second one down. So. Okay. Let me lock the mic down. Hold on a second here. All right. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this Sabbath. We thank you for all the testimonies and the praises that the people have brought forth to glorify you and your Son and your Spirit. We thank you for being so active for life and so real to your children as a Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the continued blessings as we go on throughout this week and even just the remainder of this Sabbath day, letting us see your hand move in the little and the big ways. And bless us with more opportunities to testify and to praise your name. Bless all those that are on our prayer list, Father, especially those that are lost. Bless those that help us do this work as you have promised to bless them. And bless the work that we do for you so that it goes forth and cusses and allows us to see more family members in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.